Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Let's go!
This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Hey, here we go. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. It is a big Saturday. Divisional round. Looking forward to all the games. The Jaguars and the Chiefs, 4:30 kickoff. And here in studio to help me break it all down is Sean Mapes. Give him a follow on Twitter. And Sean, we got to talk about my Cowboys. Of course, they're going to be on their way tomorrow against the 49ers. What are some of the storylines that you're going to be watching?
For me, the biggest storyline, other than the historic nature of this matchup, just the two teams, they've been in the playoffs so many times, so many great memories, is Dak Prescott coming off his most impressive performance in definitely his playoff career, maybe his season so far, 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, and most importantly, 0 interceptions against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's been an issue this season. 0 INTs, and he's going up against Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, the 7th-round pick himself, and for a chance, really, on paper, this is the best chance the Cowboys have to not just make an NFC title game, but even win the NFC, but in their ways, this awesome team led by this Cinderella story at quarterback.
And, of course, one of the questions will be, will the 49ers' defense be too much for the Cowboys' offense? Guess what? We're going to find out. So, Sean, right now, let's open up our phone lines and get ready to visit with NFL senior writer from The Athletic, Mike Sando. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
It's good to have you on the program. I'm going to get right to it as we break it all down. The Jaguars are 10-8, and the Chiefs are 14-3. Of course, the Jags, they're the underdog. Can Trevor Lawrence, can they beat the Chiefs? Can they do it?
I am not very optimistic. You know, if you go back the last couple games, when they played Tennessee to get in the playoffs, they looked kind of nervous, and it was a squeaker. I know that can happen in a division game. We saw that. Shoot, Miami took Buffalo to the wire, and Baltimore did the same without its quarterback against Cincinnati. But that wasn't like a resounding performance. And then you're down 27-0, you know, to the Chargers. And I think the Chargers were probably, you know, somewhat complicit in the comeback. So to me, that would be – this is a tall order. I think the Chiefs are – you know, such a more veteran, experienced, proven team. The Jaguars have struggled stopping tight ends. You know, I think most people have heard that Kansas City has a pretty good one. So I'm all with the Chiefs on this one, and if the Jaguars can prove me wrong, good for them.
So you bring up a great point, because how much does experience in the postseason, how much does it count?
I think it lets us feel like we know what to expect more. It doesn't – if you're inexperienced, I don't think it means that you're going to play poorly – but you're just pretty sure that the people that have been there a lot of times, you know they can do it. They're not going to be overwhelmed. They're not going to suddenly be solved. I think for the playoffs, the level of scrutiny and in your scheming, in the preparation changes. And there's a better plan for Trevor Lawrence this week than there was in week 11 with whoever they played, right? Who was coming off of another game and it wasn't a playoff game. So you've probably – Kansas City's had some downtime. They might have watched every Lawrence game, right? They really will have a good feel for what gives him trouble. And so you would think that experience, will benefit the Chiefs because, look, everyone's been looking for a way to stop Patrick Mahomes. I don't know that there is a scheme, right? But there probably are some things that will give a younger player like Lawrence some issues.
We are officially through the wild card round for the 2022 season. All 8 playoff divisional round teams are locked in, and we are going one-on-one with NFL senior writer at The Athletic, and that is Mike Sando. Give him a follow on Twitter, @SandoNFL. And we were just talking about, experience in the postseason. I just have to wonder, you know, in terms of it being overrated, but it's got to change, you know, as far as, you know, the feeling of each game from wild card weekend to divisional weekend to the championship weekend. And, you know, experience, that's going to give you confidence, and confidence is a valuable thing.
Absolutely it is. I think for the Jaguars, that probably helps them, right, getting through a couple of real playoff games, because you would even say week 18 for them was a play-in game at least. So they've been there. I think that does help them. I think as you go along, you get experience. And I think a team like the Giants is a great example, right? They were able to go and win at Minnesota. I mean, Huge confidence builder for them. Now they play a team in their division, right? I think that, like, that type of experience, I think really, I think it is helpful to get one under your belt.
Well, I have to wonder, too, with us being in the media, let's give some perspective there. You know, there are now fewer teams, so everybody's a little bit more demanding of your time. I'm trying to see it from the player's perspective, and you want them to, you know, be rolling. You want them to be executing and be in peak performance form. So I just have to wonder if that adds to the process of trying to get yourself ready for a big game like today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think it's overly that much different at this point. I think they've had, a week of kind of a routine of the mm-hmm. schedule of, okay, you meet with the media on Wednesday, you don't have to talk on this day. I think that stuff probably ramps up. I mean, it definitely for the Super Bowl. I think for the Super Bowl, it's a huge distraction, you know, a huge
for
disruption.
Sure. Yeah.
Everything's completely different. You're being shuttled around. But I think to this point, the media demands are probably pretty well regulated by the teams to not be a huge difference for the players.
Jaguars Chiefs, looking forward to the big matchup, 4:30 Eastern time on NBC. One quick question that I got to ask you. You've got a young quarterback like Trevor Lawrence. So how do you think he is going to handle the pressure? Obviously, I mean, you've already said you believe the Chiefs will prevail and move on. But you just have to wonder, like, how do you think he's going to handle this intensity? It's one thing in the preseason, the regular season, but you're in postseason play. The pressure, it feels different. It's true.
I know. And if you go back to the first part of that game against the Chargers, you felt like he was feeling it, which is, it seems odd because he's played in a lot of big games in college, but it's a little different as you go up to the professional ranks. So I thought that was just something about Jacksonville, that even though they came back and won, I thought the last couple games they looked like the bright lights were in their eyes a little bit. And so, yeah, we'll see. Maybe they just got to take a big exhale after winning and go in, and maybe we see a little bit more representative performance from them. But I thought that stood out for them more than any other team in the playoffs last week, you know, and like I said, the week before, just a little, you know, it was a little big for them.
The NFL divisional round, the countdown is on. We're looking forward to the games this afternoon and later tonight. The stakes are high, and let's have you weigh in on the Giants. They are on the road and will face the Eagles. Who needs a big game?
Well, I want to see how healthy Jalen Hurts is and just how good he looks, because they stumbled, the Eagles did, a little bit down the stretch. I think this has the potential to be a game where, you know, if he comes out and just looks great, it's a big exhale for Philly, for their fans, just for everybody, because he really does make the offense go. It's built around him in the run game and the pass game. And that goes for short yarded situations where they're incredible, because he sneaks to everything. So I do think that is a huge component. Obviously, the quarterback always is, but just the fact that, you know, we forget a year ago they got run out of the stadium by Tampa in the playoffs. They've had a great season, but now their quarterback missed a little bit late in the year. So is he going to be fine? You're playing the Giants, who know you well, you know? So I think the biggest beneficiary probably of the first round of the playoffs was probably Daniel Jones, from a confidence standpoint for the Giants. So that's probably, besides Jalen Hurts, you know, just his health being a variable, I think Daniel Jones, who was basically all but written off, reminding us that he's, number one, he's a great athlete. I mean, he can run. We've seen that in the past. He had a 70-some yard run that one game when everyone was laughing because he tripped, but still he got 75 yards. I mean, that's hard to do with all those great athletes on the field chasing you. So he may not be the least athletic quarterback in the game, right? Jalen Hurts is an incredible athlete, but Daniel Jones is a really good athlete. So with great scheming by Brian Daboll, I think that's a great matchup in this too. There's some really good coaching, fresh coaching, using your players properly. It makes a world of difference. These are both two quarterbacks, Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts, who in the wrong system with a stubborn coach could be struggling quarterbacks on their way out, not getting the most out of their abilities, and people writing them off. But you get them with this great coaching, it changes everything. And so I think that's going to be on display in this game. The Eagles should win. I think they're the better team. But
yes,
the Giants have a fighting chance, and I like the fact that it's a division game. They're not.
Yeah.
There's no stage fright playing your division rival, right? That goes for every level.
For
you're
sure.
In high school or whatever, you know your rivalry team. You're not. You might beat them no matter what.
We are looking forward to the matchup, 8:15 Eastern time tonight on Fox. Giants, Eagles, and our very special guest right now is Mike Sando, NFL senior writer with The Athletic. And I want to hit on some of the topics, some of the other things that are going on in the NFL. After the Bucs being eliminated, what's your feeling on the status of Tom Brady? Where's he going to land?
Yeah, I think he does want to keep playing. I think he still can play. There were maybe some concerning signs late in the year. I thought in the playoff game against Dallas, not that anyone's ever eager to get hit, but I think he's stood in there against the hits better than he did in that game. So that was a little concerning. You never know what he's going to decide to do. He's obviously got a bunch of money lined up in a broadcasting thing if he wants to do that, but I think he can still do it. I think he'll be selective. I think, to me, the Raiders are an obvious team with Josh McDaniels and good weaponry and a program that needs, I think their coach trying to put in a little bit of that New England program could use someone to back him on that. And you couldn't get anybody better, more respected as a player than Tom Brady to do it. So on the surface, that one makes the most sense to me. But we'll see what he's thinking. I have no idea what, he may assess his play in a different way or decide he wants to do something else. But I think he probably doesn't want to go out like that.
We'll have to wait and see when we talk about Tom Brady and, of course, Aaron Rodgers. Will he be back with the Packers? We'll just have to invite him back, and we'll break it all down with the NFL senior writer. Check him out. Amazing stuff at The Athletic at Sando NFL. That's Mike Sando. Thank you so much. First time on the show, and we look forward to connecting again in 2023.
Thank you.
You bet. Stick around. The fastest 2 hours in radio at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome in on this Saturday afternoon, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We are so glad you are with us. And, of course, we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. And perhaps you're looking for a career that you will love with some flexibility, great pay and benefits at one of the top places in the country to work for. Come join a growing team. Go to progressive.com. Apply online at Progressive Insurance. And we are getting ready to break it all down in the NFL divisional round. Of course, it gets underway. The countdown's on. Jaguars Chiefs at 4:30 Eastern time. But right now, we're going to welcome in to help us break it all down and get you ready, the host at VSIN. Give him a follow on Twitter at @1 Tim Murray. And that's my guy, Tim Murray. How are you on this Saturday? First time on the show in 2023. And I hope you got all your goals written out, right?
Yeah. Well, one of the goals was to get back on Sports Map Radio.
Okay.
And, we're pretty fired up that myself and Sean King, with the new lineup that you guys have, are fortunate enough to be on during the week. So, fired up to be back on Sports Map Radio and to be with you.
Well, we're excited to have you a part of the team, and we've got a lot of storylines to break down and get everyone ready for the games today and tomorrow. Certainly one of the most highly anticipated matchups. I want to look ahead to Sunday night, and that's the Cowboys and the 49ers. Can the Cowboys win?
They absolutely can win. I mean, we saw their best on Monday night. I mean, sitting there and watching that game, outside of the kicking performance, which was kind of an interesting storyline as I took this one in. But, Dak Prescott has certainly been a polarizing quarterback in, his ups and downs at times. And you look at the numbers and the 15 interceptions during the regular season. But what we saw on Monday night in Tampa was, in my eyes, I don't know if it's his best, but one of his best performances we've ever seen. And maybe at the stage that it was at, coming off of the Washington game where he was just dreadful. So, when you look at point spreads, which is what I do each and every day, this is, in the eyes of odds makers, the closest game or anticipated to be the closest game. So, you know, the simple thought of, is Dallas good enough to win? Absolutely. I mean, they've got a ton of talent. And, you know, you think back not that long ago, and Dallas, in the eyes of many, was a team that, you know, could win the Super Bowl. And, you know, then they kind of had the drop down there. But, you know, what we've seen from Dallas, or what we saw, I guess, to keep it more simple, on Monday night, kind of gives you that belief that, yeah, absolutely, you know, they could pull this thing off. I do wonder, you know, I'm curious about the rest advantage. It's just a couple days, but, you know, those days kind of add up. You know, we obviously, you look at Kansas City, who's playing, you know, in just a little bit, and Philadelphia later tonight.
Yeah.
Both of those teams are coming off the byes, but, you know, San Francisco does have a bit of an advantage, no travel, and the fact that they've got 2 days rest. But, you know, the simple question of can they win, 100% they can win this game.
Certainly a quick turnaround for the Cowboys, as you're talking about. They are back on the road, and, of course, tomorrow we'll be facing the 49ers. Let's talk some about the 49ers and their defense. It seems at times almost what could be insurmountable, but could it be too much for the Cowboys offense?
I mean, I do really like – I like so much about this 49ers team. And they seem like, you know, outside of the quarterback position – they're getting healthy at the right time. And, you know, let's be honest, if Jimmy G and Trey Lance were both healthy right now, you know, if they magically became healthy today, would they usurp Brock Purdy? I don't know if they would. I mean, it feels like this 49ers team is just getting has a very, you know, nice comfort level with what they have at the quarterback position. But you mentioned the defense, and, you know, at moments in time in that Seattle game, you know, and then you think back to, you know, when they played in my neck of the woods in Vegas in week 17, you know, maybe there's some opportunities for this, you know, for this defense to be had. But all in all, especially, you know, up front, you know, it's really challenging to run on them. So, you know, I think Kellen Moore and his game plan for the Cowboys on Sunday, and how he's going to utilize, you know, Tony Pollard and Zeke to try to get, you know, some sort of run game going, is going to be fascinating. You know, that's one of the many storylines, and to me, why this game, you know, the conclusion of the weekend is to me the most fascinating game of all four.
Cowboys 13-5 on the road tomorrow to face the 49ers that are 14-4 on Fox at 6:30 Eastern time. I want to back up just a moment, because rest really does matter. In fact, I think it's undervalued as an athlete, yeah. And there's definitely a rest disparity. Could that be a factor in coming to play like I'm talking about? I mean, the Cowboys, they had to, you know, a quick turnaround, pivot and go.
I do think it does, you know, it is an advantage. And I think, you know, San Francisco – you know, gets, you know, a massive, I guess massive is maybe a little too strong, but, you know, any advantage you can get right now, this time of the year, you're going to take it. And, you know, for the 49ers to get 2 extra days of rest, not have to travel, Dallas had, you know, a late game on Monday night, has to fly back to Dallas, then, you know, kind of get all that together and go back out to the Bay Area. So there's a clear advantage for the 49ers. When it comes to that, and, you know, this late in the season, if you can get a couple extra days rest, you know, there's certainly an advantage. You know, you talk about teams who, you know, during the regular season play that Thursday nighter and then get that quote unquote mini bye heading into the next week. You know, I think, you know, sitting here in a playoff situation where the 49ers get a couple extra days rest, and the fact that they don't have to travel is certainly a nice advantage for Kyle Shanahan's squad.
Hey, we are glad you're with us on this Saturday afternoon. Tim Murray, check him out, host at VSiN. Give him a follow on Twitter at @TimMurray. Of course, we were just breaking it down, getting you ready for tomorrow's matchup, tomorrow night, Cowboys 49ers. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Let's break down and look and talk about some of the storylines with the Bengals and the Bills. I think this is going to be an intriguing game as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest storylines here is the offensive line situation with Cincinnati. You know, we saw,
yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, this offensive line, obviously Lael Collins, who was a big acquisition for Cincinnati in the offseason, he's gone. Alex Kappa dealing with the ankle injury. And then you look at, you know, Williams at left tackle is now with the dislocated knee, and he was, you know, exited the Ravens game. So you look at now 3 starting offensive linemen likely to be out for this game. It's a really big loss for this Cincinnati Bengals squad, right? I mean, you come into this year, and one of the biggest tweak that you had to make for the Bengals, a team that, yes, of course, made the Super Bowl last year, was you got to shore up that offensive line. We all remember the Titans getting after Joe Burrow as much as he did, and the end of the Super Bowl when the final drive for the Bengals was completely thrown off the train tracks because of Aaron Donald. And now you're talking about three offensive linemen, you know, likely being out in Kappa, Williams, and of course Collins. We know for sure is out. So I think that is a really massive storyline. You know, what works in the advantage for the Bengals is that Von Miller is out as well for the Bills. So yeah, that is helpful. But, you know, to me, you know, I know, you know, obviously you think back to week 17 and DeMar Hamlin and these two teams being on the field together. And now here they are playing yet again in less than a month. Obviously that is kind of the biggest storyline, what people were talking about. But when you get to the X's and O's, which is, I think, what, you know, you and I and your listeners want to hear most about, I think the biggest thing to me is how are the Bengals going to protect Joe Burrow? That is the biggest question. And you know that the Buffalo Bills are going to try to come after him as much as possible, knowing that, you know, 3/5 of that offensive line is likely going to be out.
We're going to have to wait and see. Bengals Bills tomorrow, 3:00 Eastern time on CBS. And right now we want to continue to talk about some of the big games that are getting ready to take place today. The Jaguars, the Chiefs, the Giants, and the Eagles tonight. And just wondering, Tim, from a fan's perspective, is this the best weekend in football aside from Super Bowl?
It is. I mean, I'll even put it up against the Super Bowl just because you get more. I mean, obviously the Super Bowl, you know, if we get a really good one, like we've actually been, you know, fortunate enough to have some great Super Bowls. And, you know, we love the parties and the halftime shows and the commercials. But, you know, for true football fans, you know, I love this weekend. And, you know, when we get to college football expansion in a couple of years, there might be some weekends that rival this.
Yeah, that's true.
But the fact that we get, you know, arguably the 8 best NFL teams, 2 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday. You know, next weekend's great, you know, with the championships and them being back-to-back on Sunday, but no games on Saturday. So, to me, I've always said it, this is the best weekend on the sports calendar.
Tim Murray, host of VSiN. Check him out at #1, Tim Murray. You can give him a follow on Twitter. Good stuff. My final question for you is, give me a Super Bowl prediction. Come on, be bold, Timmy.
Ooh, bold. you know, it's funny. I liked Cincinnati for a while. I am now off Cincinnati. I just don't think they can over. I can't. They can't, in my opinion.
Okay.
And I stare at these point spreads all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what kind of speaks to me. So I'll say it's San Francisco and Kansas City. You know, I'll be bold here and I'll say that the Mr. Irrelevant is hoisting a Lombardi trophy.
Wow.
Down in Arizona. So that'll be my, I guess it's not too bold. I think they are in the eyes of odds makers around, you know, the co-favorites to come out of the NFC. But I just like what's going on in San Francisco. They have so many playmakers. And, yes, they do have a 7th-round pick as their starting quarterback right now. But I am a big, big believer in Kyle Shanahan and the way that he, you know, runs his offense. So I'll go San Francisco over Kansas City. They get revenge from the Super Bowl just a couple years ago, which was down in Miami.
Good stuff, Tim Murray. Check him out. Host at VSiN at #1, Tim Murray. Enjoy the games today and tomorrow. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Tim.
Always a pleasure.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We always love to connect with our national audience live on Twitter at eRadioSports. You can email the show at info@eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. Never miss a moment with the latest sporting news, trending stories, and all the highlights. Download our app, Sports Map Radio. Of course, being powered by Progressive, they are making things easier and will help you bundle your home and car insurance, and you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. You know what? As promised, we're going to talk some NBA, and it is hard to believe that we are at the midpoint of the NBA season. Several teams we're going to analyze. We're going to try to figure out who is the ultimate contender and perhaps could morph into the best team in the league. We've got the All-Star break. That's just around the corner as well, plus the trade deadline. So I'm going to go to one of my favorites in the NBA media and get his opinion and insight. Thrilled to have back with us from SiriusXM NBA Radio. You can also check him out on Mad Dog Radio Network, and that is Mitch Lawrence. First time in 2023. Happy New Year, Mitch.
Well, happy New Year to you, Alyssa. I hope you have a great one. How are things?
Things are going great. Weather is beautiful down here in Houston, Texas, and we are always excited to change things up and to talk some NBA. It's a big weekend in the NFL for the divisional round. So let's get your assessment of the midpoint of the NBA and who's going to win that next NBA championship.
Well, I picked Golden State and Milwaukee to make the finals, and I'll tell you what, one of the big surprises in the West is how poorly the Warriors have played. There are a lot of reasons for it. I mean, they're a 500 team at this point, basically. But how about the road record? They've lost a ton of road games. I don't know if the Jordan Poole, Draymond Green incident is still hanging over that team. There's stuff that's obviously not right. They've had injuries. The young guys haven't stepped up. That's been, to me, one of the big surprises because I thought Golden State would basically hit the ground running off their title this year and have a good chance to repeat. And then you have to look at Sacramento. I mean, you know, it's, we're at the halfway point, and to be talking about the Sacramento Kings as not just a playoff team, but maybe hosting the first round, that's a great job by Mike Brown and his guys in his first year in Sacramento. Light the beam and everything. And then in the East, you know, Boston just picks up where they left off with a great, great start under Joe Mazzulla under difficult circumstances with Ime Udoka getting suspended. Looks like he'll probably never be back coaching the Celtics. But to have a guy like Joe Mazzulla just step in, be a head coach for the first time in the NBA level, and that's the team that, you know, there's only one team that is on a pace to win 60 games, and that's the Celtics. So, you know, it looks like the Celtics are headed in a great direction. So those, to me, are the things that really jump out at this point.
Well, certainly one of the biggest surprise stories is Golden State, as you're talking about. You mentioned their injuries, but what is something that they could control? What is the biggest issue that needs to be addressed, Mitch?
Well, you know, they have to, first of all, when you're talking about Golden State, to contend for a title, Steph Curry has to be right and healthy. Draymond Green, same thing, and Klay Thompson. Wiggins has missed a ton of time. Those are the things that they have to count on here in the, you know, going into the second half and beyond to make a deep run in the playoffs. Because we saw last year in the playoffs, I mean, Steph Curry was the finals MVP. He had a great playoff run. He had to overcome some injuries. But how about the job Andrew Wiggins did?
Right.
And they have to get better play and more consistent. You know, getting on the court for Andrew Wiggins has been a big deal in this first part of the season. So those four guys will lead them. And then they have to get the big, you know, the big big contribution from the young guys, the Kamingas, the Pools, and guys like that. Now, you know, this Draymond Green thing that happened with Poole, where he punched them out, you know, have they ever really recovered from that? Is there still problems there in terms of trust? Who knows? But the young guys haven't contributed. And they, you know, they missed some role players from last year. They don't have any more, you know, Gary Payton, Otto Porter, guys like that. So we'll see if they make any moves at the trade deadline. But I still have to like their chances, everything being equal, if they can stay healthy, because they have the guys who know how to win a championship. They've got that championship DNA, which nobody else in the Western Conference has at this point.
Well, and experience matters, especially when it comes to post play, right?
Yes. Yep. It's a big, you know, Milwaukee has it in the East. The other teams in the East are trying to figure out how to win. You're trying to find a kind of unlock the secret to winning and, you know, getting into the playoffs. And what does it take? You can't cut corners. You have to be there. The teams that have won it historically always kind of have a leg up because they know what to expect. They know what works in the playoffs, what doesn't work. I remember talking to Andre Iguodala years ago about this when Golden State first started to win. He said, when you win, you learn a lot about your team, yourself, what you can get away with, what you can, and that gives yourself a big leg up over the competition.
Mitch Lawrence with us on Sports Map Radio Network, the Biggie Sports Show. He makes it so easy to understand what is the latest in the NBA. You can check him out at SiriusXM NBA Radio, also Mad Dog Radio. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mitch_Lawrence. Since we are talking about the Western Conference a little bit, let's go and take a deep dive into the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, the name that is synonymous is Luka Doncic. How about that 60-point triple-double against New York in the month of December? It's something we certainly won't forget, and he's got to be your favorite to win the MVP award this season.
Well, actually, my favorite right now is Jason Tatum, based on the fact that Jason Tatum, if you look at his statistics, he's played basically almost the whole season. He's only missed a couple of games so far. They've got the number one record. He's been outstanding. Joel Embiid for Philadelphia has been now. He's missed more games than you want him to miss. You want the MVP to play consistently. Jokic going for his third straight. I would consider him a guy who you have to look at. This has not been done, by the way. Historically, for someone to win three straight MVPs, it's almost never been done. Only been done three times in the history of the league. Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, and the latest one, the last guy to do it was Larry Bird, and that's 40 years ago. And for Jokic to do that would be quite the feat. And then, yeah, like Luka's problem to me is right now there are 11 teams in the league that have better records than the Mavericks. The Mavericks are basically a 500 team and also a terrible road team like Golden State. So Luka's had a phenomenal start. He's put up some amazing numbers like you referenced, Alyssa. But to me, he's got to start winning more. It's not good enough to be a fifth or sixth place seeded team unless you're a Russell Westbrook when he had that historic year when he won it, won the MVP, and he, you know, he averaged a triple-double, which hadn't been done since Oscar Robertson in the early 60s. He's going to have to pick up winning on the road. And quite frankly, I don't know if they have the talent around him to do that. That's a big concern for them, I think. I think their people around the league who feel because of that the Mavericks are going to have to do something at the deadline. Well, no, Luka's been outstanding, but there are some people who I think you have to put on top of them right now for the MVP race.
Well, the trade deadline, it is quickly approaching. So what do you think is Dallas's biggest need? Because, you know, although Luka is putting up massive numbers, he's shouldering a big, heavy offensive burden.
It'd be nice to have Jalen Brunson, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a big loss for them. He helped them in the playoffs. They got to the Western Finals, and, you know, he was their second-best player. And obviously he left to go to play for New York, and there's still a big discrepancy over what really happened in terms of the money, although we know that the Mavericks had a chance to get him pretty cheap, and they didn't do that. He gambled on himself, and he won big, and now the Mavericks miss him. Because, look, when you just look at that roster, and the addition of Christian Wood has helped somewhat, but Luka just doesn't have top-flight, all-star caliber talent around him with Dinwiddie and guys like that. Talking to personnel people around the league, you know, they like to look at, you know, the teams that have the great players and who's helping them. Giannis has Chris Middleton, although he's been out a lot this year, but he's had Drew Holiday. That's their big three. And obviously a guy like Embiid has Maxey and Harden, although he's not the same player. But, you know, Boston, you got two of the great forwards going at it with, you know, Tatum's got Jaylen Brown. He's got Marcus Smart. Luka doesn't have top, you know, he doesn't have top-tier talent next to me. Is Christian Wood a top 60, top 70 player? You know, maybe. That's not saying a lot. So they have to, if they're going to make some moves, somehow they're going to have to acquire somebody who's a real all-star caliber player. And that's why I brought up Brunson, because although the Knicks have been just kind of like mediocre, at least Brunson's had some moments, and he's given that team the playmaker that they need going forward. I'm not telling you, sit here and tell you he's a perennial all-star, but he has had an impact for New York, and that's what Dallas really misses at this point.
SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mad Dog Radio, Mitch Lawrence with us at Sports Map Radio Network on this Saturday afternoon. You know, talking about Luka, this is his fifth season in the NBA, you know, posting big numbers, big totals, and all-around play. How has he changed and evolved just over the past 5 years? I mean, what have you seen as far as in terms of growth?
Well, I mean, he has grown to the point where he might be the most difficult player to guard in the NBA. That's saying a lot. It came from, you know, where he came from. I mean, he walked into the league and he knew, wow, he had a chance to be something special. I think his first year, I think Jerry West, the great, you know, talent evaluator, the great GM, and obviously now he works for the Clippers, I believe, as an advisor. I think he came out right away pretty much and said, you know, he's going to be better than Dirk Nowitzki, which we kind of all looked at and said, wow, that's quite a comment for Jerry West to make. But if you watched him play over the years, more and more, he is a very difficult, he's become increasingly a much more difficult player to defend with all he can do on the court, playing at his pace. His situation, though, is, yes, he's come far to be now an MVP caliber player, but that has to also be reflected in the wins and the losses. And, you know, right now, if you're basically playing and you're leading a team that's 500, either you've got to do more or you've got to get more around you. And so defensively, he can do a lot more. That's where, you know, the Mavericks are like a lot of teams in the NBA these days. They can score with anybody. Their problem is they can't stop any people on a lot of given nights. And so when you hear that the Mavericks are involved in trade talks and people want Reggie Bullock, yeah, people want Reggie Bullock, but is Mavericks going to give up a guy? Is Luka going to want to give up a guy who helps, you know, on the defensive wing in terms of coverage? So Luka's come far. I mean, he's really raised his level of play year in and year out. It's been almost astounding how good he's been and where he can go. But he obviously, he needs a lot more help if he's going to make another deep playoff run.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. The NBA conversation continues with SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence. We are at the midpoint of the NBA season, breaking it all down with our friend from SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mad Dog Radio, and that is Mitch Lawrence. So we've touched on a little bit out of the Western Conference, but out of the Eastern Conference, who do you think is poised to make a big second-half run?
Well, I hope Milwaukee does, because I picked them, like I said earlier.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the amazing thing is there that, you know, Chris Middleton has been absent for most of the first half of the season. He's only played, his last game was December 15th. He's only played, you know, seven or eight games, whatever. And he is, you know, he showed during their championship run a couple of years ago, he showed he was a big-time clutch player in the playoffs against the Nets when they beat the Nets in the playoffs against Atlanta. He had some huge games. Obviously, it all starts with Giannis. But when he's playing great, if he can overcome this foot thing, and you got Drew Holiday, who's one of the best two-way guards, and you got Giannis Antetokounmpo playing at an MVP level, let's not forget him, too. I mean, they're going to be tough to beat. Now, Boston, you know, Boston has done a phenomenal job, as we talked about at the outset. I mean, for them to be on a pace to win 60 games, they've basically been dominant. The only time they've struggled really is in overtime games where they've had some losses. But, I mean, this is a thing where you kind of had to wonder going into the year, how would they react to losing their head coach, Ime Udoka, and having a guy who's only been a head coach on a Division III level at Fairmont State, West Virginia, Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah.
But they've answered the call. They've answered the bell. You know, with Robert Williams coming back off an injury, it seems like they've had a great addition to Malcolm Brogdon. They're going to be a very tough out, but it looks like a two-horse race there. I mean, I like what Philadelphia's done. I never trust Brooklyn. Embiid's going to be around to be in the MVP conversation. Harden, not the same player he was a few years ago, but Maxey's very, very good. But I don't trust the Nets. So I'm looking at a kind of a two-horse race when we hit the stretch in the part of May and June. I still think it's going to be a Milwaukee-Boston situation.
You know, as we talk about Boston, what has been the key to their success? Because as you're talking about, Mitch, they faced a lot of adversity. They faced a lot of volatility.
Well, start with Jason Tatum. Everybody who wants Luka Doncic to beat MVP, I mean, Jason Tatum, the way he's played at both ends of the court, but especially offensively. You know, this is a guy who has been around now. He's experienced some success. He experienced some failure in the finals last year. Basically, he got worn down and kind of worn out.
Yeah.
And he struggled against Golden State. But look at what he did to come back this year, playing the majority of the games. He's being effective at the offensive end. He's a very, very, I mean, he's an excellent offensive player. And defensively, you know, he can be a top-line player, too. It starts with him. They've got all the type of players and the toughness that you need. They're a hungry team. They're a team that, you know, they were up 2-1 in that finals, and they had a chance. They were 5 minutes away from going up 3-1 against Golden State.
Wow.
They lost the fourth quarter of that game. They fell apart late in that game four, lost the next two games, and they were done. But instead of having a hangover from that, I think they've used that to fuel a lot of how they've come out here and taking care of business right here through the first half.
Hey, we're jumping around a little bit. We got to head back out west. Got to talk to you. I mean, when Mitch is on the show, we got to talk about the Lakers. Where do you see them at this point in the season, and why has their season not gone according to plan?
Well, LeBron's done about as much as he can at the age of 38.
Yeah.
And we all know that he's going to break Kareem's record for scoring, and that's great and everything. But the loss of Anthony Davis is just something that you just can't overcome. I mean, you know, it's like when the Nets lose a Kevin Durant. When you lose a top-flight player, a guy who you depend on for all kinds of things at both ends of the court, it's almost impossible. Everybody wants to talk about next man up. You can't have guys like Kevin Durant, or in the Lakers' case, even with LeBron and Anthony Davis, miss a considerable amount of time, Alyssa, and expect them not to miss a beat. When he was healthy, he was playing great. He was carrying them. That's what they need. That's it. That's plain and simple. I mean, look, they might be involved in trades. None of them are going to really move the needle because they don't have a lot to give up. But they have to get Anthony Davis back, and he has to stay on the court. And that's the biggest problem. He's brittle. He's a guy who you just can't depend on. He's not reliable when it comes to that. He's always going down, always getting injured. So Laker fans are going to have to, when he's back, they're just going to have to keep their fingers crossed so he can stay on the court. Because when he is on the court and playing and avoiding injury, he plays at a high level.
Well, Anthony Davis, they were saying he was playing at an MVP level before that foot injury. What is the timeline? Any idea when he perhaps might return?
No, I really don't at this point. I think your guess is as good as anybody. The recent reports are he's improving. But you know, this is an interesting thing. He's got some sort of a stress reaction or something in his foot. We'll see if it's all healed. I mean, you know, the big question for him is going to be not just when he's back, but how many more games can he give the Lakers down the stretch, and can he avoid going out to injury? And he just seems like one of those guys. The track record is he's always getting hurt. So I just don't know even what he can give them for how long when he comes back. It's kind of sad that way because he is such a talented player. And, you know, he was voted on to be one of the greatest 75 players. Yes. He made that list. So he's got to, you know, he's got to continue to rehab and come back and stay strong. And, you know, he's the key to helping LeBron get not just to the play-in. They didn't make the play-in last year. They got to get into a situation where he can try to help LeBron win a title because LeBron's running out of time.
As we zero in and talk about the Lakers, weigh in on Russell Westbrook from what I can tell. I mean, he's been less than efficient than he was last year.
Well, you know, he's coming off the bench. It's been a tough fit at times, but other times he's played well. This is not the same Russell Westbrook we saw years ago. We obviously know that. A lot of us didn't think it was going to work in Los Angeles because when you have LeBron James, the last person you want to bring in is Russell Westbrook, who also has to have his hands on the ball. So we'll see how things play out for him. I mean, you know, it's got to be disappointing for him in a lot of ways that they're losing, that he's back home, that he really, you know, was a scapegoat last year in a lot of ways. But he has a chance to redeem himself this year. We'll just see how effective he can be because he still makes the same mistakes that we've seen over the years. He'll play hard. He'll try hard. But the question is, will he play well? Will he be effective? And that's something that he hasn't been answering enough in the affirmative over the last couple of years.
Well, the 2023 NBA trade deadline, it is quickly approaching. So what are some potential trade targets for the Lakers? Who are they pursuing?
Well, the Lakers are, you know, the Cam Reddish of the Knicks, who doesn't play at all because Tom Thibodeau just doesn't want to use him. He's a guy who's going to be available, is available. The Lakers are going after him. He's a big wing. He's shown flashes that he can be a player in this league, but not nearly enough. And they're going to have competition from Dallas and Milwaukee. We'll see what else the Lakers can do. I don't think, like I said, they've talked to the Pacers in the past. I don't know if Indiana's interested. They've had a good year. I don't know if they're interested in trading Buddy Hield or Miles Turner or those guys to the Lakers anymore. I don't think the Lakers are going to be able to do anything, Alyssa, which is really going to move the needle, where you're going to say, wow, now there's a team that beat in the West, or wow, they're going to be one of the top teams. It's still going to be Denver. It's still going to be Memphis. For my money, it still has to be Golden State if everybody's healthy, like I said. I think the Lakers are in a really bad situation because they just don't have the assets to go out and pull off a trade that's going to get them somebody who can really make a difference, especially if Anthony Davis can't answer the bell.
Good stuff. Check them out. SiriusXM NBA Radio, also Mad Dog Radio, and give them a follow on Twitter at Mitch_Lawrence. We always appreciate you carving out some time, some good stuff. Thank you so much, Mitch.
It's always enjoyed it, Alyssa.
You bet.
Thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. The fastest 2 hours in radio exclusively at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back after this quick break.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.